17 minutes past 10 o'clock. We've known for a long time now that there seems to be a correlation between the bleaching of coral reefs and marine life and the use of sunscreen. We've known this for some time, but why has always been a question. There's been some new research into why sunscreens, and as they dilute in the water and, you know, form part of the plethora of pollution that we see, not in our terra firma, but also in our oceans, just become part of the mix in our modern life. But joining me now, Professor Peter Britz. He's a professor of ichthyology and fishery science at Rhodes University. We've known that, well, there's a correlation between sunscreen and the bleaching of our coral reefs, but there's been some more research into why. Peter, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Morning, and hello to the listeners, and thank you for talking to me. I'm afraid I must correct your introduction immediately so we don't propagate false narratives, and it's a very important thing to understand climate change. So what you're referring to is a recent article in Nature, the prestigious science journal, which was a laboratory study. And in this laboratory study, they looked at the effect of the active ingredients in sunscreens on corals, and they found there was a negative effect if they were exposed to high levels of, I can't remember which one it was, one of those not so nice ones, the parabens, I think. The corals died, but the article itself acknowledges this is not the cause of coral bleaching. Okay. So we really need to get this straight to the listenership. The cause of coral bleaching is warm water events. And we've had three major bleaching events associated with what we call temperature anomalies, which is when the temperatures are higher than the average temperatures in your average year. So this has resulted in the bleaching of massive areas of corals in areas like the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, the Seychelles, and virtually all coral reefs around the world. So there's 2 points to make. The one is it's clearly temperature, and the scientific effort is now, can we save coral reefs?
I appreciate that clarification. You, of course, are the scientist, and I appreciate that. My reading of that article is that the findings hint that there is a level of sunscreen pollution and climate change combined being a threat. Is that my misreading of the situation?
You're misreading it. You know, if you just do a thought experiment and think about the gigantic areas that corals cover, you know, the Great Barrier Reef, the Seychelles, the Mauritius, where tourists swim in the sea is an infinitesimal, like, tiny percentage of covering coral reefs. So they're absolutely not implicated in the bleaching. But having said that, my other point is that we don't know, and what's emerging with science is all of these chemicals that we use, including sunscreens, we don't know what their effects are, and with time now, these effects are coming out. And, it's been known for a while, there's a few nasties in sunscreens for humans, there is a move away from using some of these chemicals, and so it's not surprising at all that they would have an effect on a marine life, not just corals. And, you know, I also personally feel a bit guilty when I get into the sea and you see the sort of slick of oil and chemicals coming off your skin when you've put the sun cream on. So it is something to be conscious of. And, so it is an issue. But in the bigger picture, we have to be clear around, you know, there's a lot of narratives around climate change which are not right, and the science is conclusive, you know, on coral reefs. It's really the global warming, and we're getting increasing what they call anomalies. So you get these events where the water is warmer than normal for a period of time, And so the big question is, what's the future of coral reefs? I was in Seychelles recently, and I saw a lot of the reefs are now moving from coral. You know, the bacteria in the coral dies with these warming, and the bacteria feed the coral. So then the coral dies. So you're left with this hard reef, and then it becomes populated with more filamentous type algae, and the whole ecology of the reef changes. But there is, you know, some indications that coral reefs can recover. They've found that, you know, genetically we're sort of selecting for corals that can tolerate warmer water. So they're finding that the new warm water events aren't as catastrophic as the first ones. Mm. And then there are initiatives in some places to rehabilitate corals by culturing coral and actually going and putting it back on these reefs. Mm. But on balance, you know, we are losing a lot of coral reef, and the global warming, the temperature rise is real. It's happening. And so this is a trend that's set to continue. And with so many things, we're in uncharted waters. We know the temperature is rising, but the actual effects on the reefs and the oceans are not always intuitive or logical. What was interesting, they found that around the equator, where the temperatures are always quite warm, the corals were more tolerant to rises in temperature. And then as you move further north and south, they were more vulnerable to rises in temperature. So it does show that, you know, this is a capability to adapt, but that's always limited. So we're seeing big changes with climate change, species moving, following the temperature, the corals is a big issue.
Sorry to hop on this, Pete, but it's maybe my inability to read scientific data or nature.com, which I read occasionally and I trust to be a reputable science journey. Their headline is, a common sunscreen ingredient turns toxic in the sea. Anemones suggest why. Oxybenzone, a chemical linked coral bleaching, transforms from a UV blocking agent into one that damages cells when exposed to light. Either nature.com is wrong, or I'm completely trying to make sense of it.
What you said is an accurate reading of the paper. Mm. That does happen. But this was done in a fish tank in the laboratory.
Mm. Okay.
So we're talking about a question of scale here.
If
you are swimming on a beach and the corals around you may well be affected by that sunscreen, and the brilliant part of the paper is they've worked out a mechanism. So it's very smart science. But we just need to, you know, understand that it's a limited effect. So this might happen on tourists, you know, for example, in your heavy tourist use areas like Eilat in Israel or your strip of hotels in Mauritius, all that sun cream could well be affecting those reefs right in front of those hotels. But the issue of coral bleaching is definitely linked to temperature. And, you know, the coral reefs cover gigantic areas where, you know, you just don't get sunscreen anywhere near.
So essentially, we need
to separate the two effects. So the sunscreen, at best, it could be a localized effect, but even that is not yet proven. It's a hypothesis. Yes, it could have an effect. They use quite high levels of the sunscreen. So, you know, science is about generating hypotheses which you can test. So the next step would be to go to, say, an area of heavy use by, tourism, and then go and measure the levels of sunscreen in the water and have a look and see if there's a link to the decline of corals in the area. Mm. So what they've done is identify a mechanism, but to what extent, there's many other effects out there. So that's the next challenge of science, to find out, you know, to what extent does this happen. And yes, it would be a concern in tourist areas.
You're saying that there isn't enough people slathering themselves with sunscreen, getting into the water to, on a wide scale, affect coral collapse. Essentially.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It would be at best, it would be a localized effect, you know, where the people are swimming in front of, you know, sort of very heavy use beaches.
That clarifies a lot and puts me at ease. But if you're looking at, I've recently seen a story written by George Monbiot about coral collapse on the Great Barrier Reef. Have we reached that stage yet around the Great Barrier Reef in Australia being a point beyond salvation, or can we undo a future of coral collapse? Not asking you to refer directly to the George Monbiot article, but generally in your experience.
Yeah, so like I say, we're in uncharted waters. The coral bleaching has been disastrous. It has really destroyed a very large proportion of coral. And so the question going forward is, can these coral beds recover? And, you know, there's some indications they seem to have some limited capacity to adapt. But we're in uncharted waters. But the prognosis is not good. And then the narrative moves, well, what is ecosystem collapse? You know, so what we're seeing is massive change. So, for example, where I saw what happens is the reefs get colonized with more filamentous algae. So there's still life there, but then you're losing a large part of your biodiversity. Many, many fish species disappear. Other fish species come in and take their place, but a less diverse fauna.
Okay.
So the prognosis going forward, if the coral reefs don't recover, we will still have, you know, life on these reefs and life in these areas, but much diminished. And that's part of the tragedy of the climate change. You know, we've been talking about this third extinction event, and that's very real, and that's continuing. So be it the rainforests or coral reefs, it's really important to understand that, you know, climate change is real. It's here, it's not in the future. And, we're really facing an uncertain future. And so there's been so many false narratives around climate change and distractions in the media, COVID, the Ukraine war, and the house is on fire. And there's been many agendas by the oil industry and people to sort of divert the narrative away and try and discredit, you know, the science of climate change, that it's not real.
So
I think that's the message is really to... Yeah, the more science we get, the better. But to get the message right is very important.
So let me pick up in 60 seconds, if possible, Professor.
Sure.
The conversation around microplastics, around chemicals in sunscreen, all very important, but you're saying distracts from the broader and more important issue of systems collapse brought on by a climate crisis, which is directly attributable to fossil fuel production. Is that what you're saying?
You've put it in a nutshell very well. I couldn't say it better myself.
Peter Britz, Professor at the Department of Ichthyological and Fishery Science. I'll get it right eventually, at Rhodes University. Really appreciate the conversation. Thanks so much for joining us.